The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Beloved of God, grace to you and peace this night from God our Maker and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may not have noticed because it has happened so gradually, but the days are getting longer. Last night, some of us were here for the Shrove Tuesday pancake dinner, and we were in the Parish Commons, the big room out here, at about 5:30, and we looked out the window, and there was the most beautiful sunset. The light had broken into oranges and pinks just as the sun started touching down on the Olympic Mountains, going to bed for the night. I distinctly remember being in that same room 2 months ago on Christmas Eve, not even 2 months ago, at that same time, and it was pitch black outside those windows. The days are lengthening in the Northern Hemisphere, and this fills my heart with hope and gladness. The rhythm of the seasons, the light and the darkness, the patterns of creation, were not lost on our Christian ancestors. They gave the name Lent to this time of year because the lengthening of days, these words have the same root. Our ancestors connected their life in Christ to what they saw going on in the natural world around them. Each year, as the days lengthened, they saw the earth come back to life. A resurrection of sorts. Trees grew their buds, crops sprouted in the fields. The earth was mysteriously, wonderfully renewed. So in the days that led up to Easter, they developed intentional disciplines that focused on their growth and on their renewal as people connected to the crucified and risen Christ. These became the traditional practices of Lent. Many of these practices we have inherited, and if we look closely, we will notice that creation's fingerprints are all over our Lenten practices. Take tonight, for instance, our Ash Wednesday liturgy. The season of Lent begins with a bold and honest statement of our creatureliness. We are mortal. We are loved and cherished by God. We are called by God to a special role in the created order, yet like all creatures, our days are numbered. Now we live at a time and in a culture that does its best to defy the limits of death, prolonging life sometimes in any way possible. So it is unusual and perhaps even startling to speak with honesty and acceptance of our own death. It is a stark statement we hear tonight. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But it is a statement of faith. We acknowledge that this life is a gift from God, one that will not last forever. We acknowledge that we have a proper place in the order of creation. We are not the creator. We are not in charge of anything. We are creatures. However, the mark of mortality that we receive tonight is in the shape of a cross. It reminds us that in life and in death, we are joined to Jesus Christ. It reminds us that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And in this season of lengthening, we take time tonight to lengthen our confession of sin. We take time to open ourselves to God. We invite our gardener God to prune away those parts of our life that do not bear fruit. Everything that is dead and dry and stands in the way of our fruitfulness. We ask God to burn off our self-deception and our self-righteousness, to deliver us from selfishness and hard hearts. Confession is not easy work. It is rooted in a deep trust of God's unconditional love and wisdom. We trust that God sees us and knows us even better than we know ourselves. And we trust that God's deepest desire for us is abundant, verdant life. So tonight we surrender to God's judgment and trust God's mercy to wash over us like a cleansing, refreshing rain. As we pay attention to the seasons of creation, we are reminded that there are seasons in our own lives. Try as we might to be productive, happy, well-adjusted, faithful people living in perpetual summer, we know this just isn't true. Life has seasons. There are times of energy and busyness when we challenge ourselves with new goals and new accomplishments. There are seasons when we slow down, when our bodies don't allow us to do as much, when we can cram fewer activities into a day, when simple things become more challenging. And then there are seasons when we are knocked flat, when the pain and grief of life leaves us wounded and waiting for healing. Some seasons are joyful and some are filled with confusion and grief. In some, we have a profound sense of God's presence. In others, we struggle with God's silence. One of the unique invitations of Lent is to walk with Jesus into the wilderness and through his experience of suffering and death. This is not the shiny, happy season of Jesus' life. Yet we are invited to accompany him by listening and watching and abiding. It's not a mandatory thing. Lent and Holy Week disciplines are not required. But as we abide with Jesus in his time of suffering, I have the sense that we are strengthened in our ability to abide with each other and with ourselves during our times of suffering. Lent is a time to grow in compassion, in self-compassion, and in respect for all the seasons of life. And it's a time to remember what lies just beyond the horizon, the great promise of Easter. It's funny, whenever I watch a beautiful sunset like the one last night, I have to remind myself that the sun isn't actually setting. It isn't going away. It just appears that way as the earth turns. The sun is still doing what the sun does, shining its rays of warmth and light. God's Easter promise is like that. It doesn't go away in Lent. The love of God is always stronger than death, and the Spirit of God is always at work in us, bringing us from death to life. Throughout these 40 days, this promise shines its warmth and its light on us. May we, like trees rooted deeply in the soil of God's love, grow in grace and faith, that our lives may bear the fruit of God's reign. And God bless us as we abide with one another through this season, walking with Christ, our Savior and our friend. Amen.